First case for argument this morning is 22-1167, Panduit v. Corning. Mr. Melinda.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'd like to focus my time today on the choosing for use limitation. And with respect to that limitation, the case for reversal is straightforward here. I'll direct you to...
Can I just ask you as a preliminary matter? So we've got essentially two issues here. We've got the order of the steps and the construction of choosing. Do we have to reach both of them? Like if we were to conclude hypothetically that, yes, this order, 1, 2, 3, is required, is it still necessary for purposes of infringement to determine the construction of choosing or not?
If we went on one of those terms, the case goes back and we proceed with discovery.
What about the reverse?
I'm sorry. That
if you lose on one of them, do we need to decide the other?
I think you do, Your Honor. Yes. If we win on one of them, the case goes back. If we lose on one, we win on the other, the case goes back.
Okay. So we need to decide both.
You do, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Proceed.
Okay. As I mentioned, I'll be focusing on the choosing for use limitation. The case for reversal is straightforward here. I know there are a lot of hyper-technical arguments, but the bottom line is that on page 821, the district court provided absolutely no evidence or reasoning in support of its conclusion that, in support of its construction. This alone mandates reversal. There's no evidence. There's no intrinsic evidence. There's no extrinsic evidence supporting it. And there's no reasoning at all.
As far as the intrinsic evidence, I mean, we're looking at the claim language, and we're looking at whatever you point to in the spec.
Yes, Your Honor. The court cites to none of it. So basically, the court's decision on choosing for use is, I don't agree with Panduit, I don't agree with Panduit, I don't agree with Panduit, but then it doesn't say why it actually agrees with Corning.
Why should that matter on what I think everybody agrees is a question of law?
It is a question of law, but it has to be supported by evidence. And we have plain language in the specification that actually guides us to the result here.
I'm sorry, is there an appellate practice or jurisdiction principle that says on a pure question of law, so this is not factual question governed by Rule 52 with a need for findings,
yes, Your Honor.
That a district court that simply says, I conclude that this law means the following, that somehow we have to send it back, as opposed to decide whether that legal source means or doesn't mean that on our own?
You, of course, Your Honors, are empowered to do that as a question of law. We know that. But with respect to what the district court did, we just don't know. We don't know why the district court held in favor of Corning that choosing effectively means determining here. The court cited no evidence and provided no reasoning. And the claim construction cases say that a district court should explain its decision. And it cites to nothing. We have no idea why it chose determining.
My vague recollection is, I guess I can think of literally a handful of cases where we sent a claim construction ruling back for reconsideration for insufficient explanation. But I think in each one of them we said, what we're doing here is really pretty unusual.
Okay, Your Honor.
So why should this be that unusual situation?
Even if you're reading of the law, Your Honor, which it sounds like it is that the court did not need to provide any reasoning. It was nonetheless incorrect anyway. And so I'd like to focus on why it was incorrect.
Well, are you referring to, we've got several opinions, are you referring to the one?
A21, Your Honor. A21. At the back of the blue brief. At A21, all the court says, the court finds that the initial portion of defendant's proposed construction determining that the measured fiber will be used serves to properly elaborate the terse claim language in order to understand and explain.
But I don't know. That's preceded by a discussion of sorting and choosing and all of this stuff. That's not all. I mean, that's why I was confused with what you said. I mean, there's stuff that precedes that, like several pages starting at A14, right?
Those are rejecting our arguments, and I'll get to why that was wrong. But then why it affirmatively chose determining, which is an undefined term. The specification uses the term determining, but it doesn't illuminate what the what choosing means. That's the problem. Well, that's the first problem.
Well, I thought the issue before her was really, the essence of the issue was whether or not choosing was selecting or it included sorting and verifying.
That is an issue, but the problem is her actual construction didn't even include selecting. That's where this becomes really confusing. So first, she equated selecting, which is in the preamble, with choosing. And then she didn't use selecting in her actual construction. The court instead used determining. So it actually excluded selecting as well. And the problem with that is that, so we have one sentence in the specification at column 2, lines 59 through 61. And what that line in the specification says is that when implemented as a test algorithm, which what this is, it can be used to select fiber, sort fiber, or verify fiber performance. These are three overlapping terms, and this is what people of skill in the art do. When they have a pile of fibers in front of them and they want to choose them, they select, they sort, and they verify to check.
You just ran over, and that's what this is, a test algorithm. There's nothing of that. None of those words appear in the claim itself, right? Those words.
Well, it says choosing for use in a actually, the exact words are
choosing for use in the communications
network. Comprising exactly. So what you're doing is you're testing as part of the process of choosing fibers for use in a communication network. That's what you're doing.
I was just going to ask. You said that these are three overlapping terms.
They are,
Your Honor. Point which I can understand, but also you argue in your briefing that there's three different embodiments disclosed in this sentence.
Correct, Your Honor.
And that so it's kind of odd to have three different overlapping embodiments, isn't it? I mean, we're just trying to figure out what is the best claim construction here according to one person of ordinary skill in the art, and here there's three different embodiments, right?
That's right, Your Honor. And whether they're called embodiments or they call them uses, the case law views those as really interchangeable.
Why should we look at those claims, which do have a preamble that says selecting, and then there's the last step of this method is determining, or not determining, sorry,
it's
choosing.
Selecting, yes, Your Honor. This is exactly the problem with the court's construction, though, is that now we have all of these terms, and we have one that the court used that's not even defined, which is determining.
I hear what you're saying.
So
if the argument is, well, you can't ignore some of these other uses or embodiments, but isn't it true that a patent owner could choose to specifically claim one of those embodiments? And why isn't it incorrect that choosing most clearly is associated with the selecting use or embodiment?
They can, Your Honor, but this one sentence in the specification really helps get us there because it includes all three. And the reason is because that's what one of skill in the art does. When they're choosing fibers for use in a communications network, they select, they sort, and they verify using this DMD shift metric analysis.
Well,
they do all three of those things.
The key difference between what you said is you use the word and the specification uses the word or.
Yes, Your Honor. And or is a conjunction, and I don't think it's limiting here. In this case, all that's being said here is you can select, you can sort, or you can verify. So really, it's just any one of those three or all of those three. It's not limiting. It's not to the exclusion
of the
others.
But to Judge Stoll's point, which is that's fine that that's what the abstract says, but how do we know it's necessarily what is being claimed in the claims that are at issue here?
Because that's what one of skill in the art does. One of skill in the art does is look at fibers and apply the DMD shift metric, and as part of that choosing process, does all three of these things as a practical matter.
Why do you keep using the word choosing all by itself when it comes with choosing to use? Is it
choosing for use?
Which seems to me to go quite a long way towards saying, oh, we really are talking about something other than testing or classifying for our internal purposes, that this is the end stage choice until it goes out to the customer.
But that's exactly why you're doing this. You're doing that testing in order to choose which ones go in one pile and which ones go in another pile. And as part of that, you're going to sort them, you're going to select them, and then you're going to verify that there's a negative DMD shift, which is the whole point of this invention.
And you think the phrase choosing to use something includes testing something and then deciding not to use it?
100%. If it doesn't satisfy the metric, then you have to put those in a different pile.
This doesn't say choosing whether to use. It says choosing to use.
Well, I'm going to choose the ones that are negative, which I think by implication says I'm not going to choose the ones that are positive. And I think what's really crucial about this is that the district court actually almost got to our construction. So with respect to choosing, for example, with respect to selecting, the district court said, oh, yeah, those two terms are synonymous. It said that in its decision. It also said the same thing for sorting.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time because choosing for use versus sorting for use doesn't have a clear distinction. I'm having a hard time wondering why this construction matters for purposes of infringement. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Why it matters for infringement?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, we're not supposed to provide advisory claim construction, so it's hard to understand. It seems as if something that's being chosen for use is also being sorted for use. So my question is, why does it matter?
Well, because we had conceded below that if we were under the court's construction that we could not demonstrate infringement under the facts that we knew. Because we had been given some preliminary discovery from Corning, and based upon the court's construction, we concluded that we would not be able to demonstrate infringement based upon that. Based upon the discovery at that time, we make a discovery in the future that may change our view. But as far as we knew at that time.
Can you tell us anything more concrete about why or... I know it's not part of the stipulation. But
I wish I could, Your Honor. It's highly confidential. It's a top secret process, which made this more challenging. But I just want to go back to the issue that the district court actually determined that selecting and sorting are both synonyms. They're both synonymous with choosing. That gets us two-thirds of the way there. Where the court ended up being hung up was on the issue of verifying. And then on the issue of verifying, really all this is a simple, does it have the negative DM shift, DMD shift, or does it not? And if it has a negative one, we have verified that we may move forward with these fibers.
So you think choosing and verifying are synonymous?
I believe that based on the patent specification, they're encompassed within that choosing process, absolutely.
Okay. You're into your rebuttal. Oh. I don't hear from the other side.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Good morning. Yes.
Thank you, Judge President. May it please the Court. Gregory Rackaway from Kellogg Hansen for Corning Incorporated. The patents at issue claim a method for selecting purportedly high-performing optical fibers using a metric. And to perform that method, a person of skill needs to calculate the metric and then use it to select fibers. That result followed from the claim language. It is supported by the specifications, and it is all this Court needs to affirm. I will follow counsel's lead in skipping to the second question, if that's acceptable to the Court. But if you have questions about the first issue, I'm, of course, prepared to address them. And the district court correctly construed the claims to require, at the choosing step of the method, a determination whether or not the measured fiber will be used in a communications network. That is the ordinary meaning of choosing for use in such a network. The claim method is to take the measurements, subtract to find the metric, and then use the result of the metric to choose which fibers will be used in the network.
Do you agree, though, that here, in this circumstance, choosing for use could also include sorting, because you're sorting which ones are being used and which ones are not being used?
So I think I would answer that with a yes with a but. So there's certainly a sense of sorting that overlaps, as has been observed, with choosing. You could sort piles into two fibers and say, we're using this pile, we're not using that pile. That in that case, you are choosing them for use, you're sorting them, and you're also, within the district court's claim construction, you are determining whether the fibers will be used. If they're in the pile with the negative DMD shift, those are the fibers you're going to use. That's not inconsistent with what the district court said.
So, for example, the sorting hat at Hogwarts is actually doing both. It's both putting people into groups and determining where they will actually go.
Yes, Your
Honor. Sorting covers, in that situation, both. But not always.
You would be determining which students would go to House Gryffindor or to House Slytherin. And in that meaning of sorting, it's the same as determining and the same as choosing and the same as picking. And you could have five other common English language words. I don't think it's a particularly complicated concept. I think there's a lot of unnecessary...
Why isn't applying the metric to verify whether a particular fiber has the negative property on the road to deciding whether to use it a form of choosing for use, which I mistakenly said earlier that it says choosing to use. It doesn't. It says choosing for use, which is rather close to choosing whether to use. Why isn't applying the metric to verify the property of a fiber that is in front of you already part of that?
So I think, Your Honor, that if you are verifying and then you are not using the fibers that fail verification, you are within the district court's construction. You are determining whether the measured fibers will be used. And I agree that, again, that meaning of verification would be consistent with the plain language of the patent and would be consistent with the district court's construction. What is not consistent with the district court's construction and what Panduit argued below is that you could measure, subtract, verify, leaving out the step order issue, but measure, subtract, verify, and then use the fiber anyway, and use that verification to feed back into your manufacturing process. And I respectfully disagree with counsel's question that why this matters.
Use that fiber anyway or not use that fiber?
If you do use the fiber regardless of the result, then you're not practicing the patent because you're not determining whether it's going to be used. If whether you use the fiber depends on the result, then you are determining whether the fiber will be used and you are within the patent. And I would refer the court to Appendix 101 and to Appendix 133. For a discussion of why this matters, because it's not all confidential. And some of it was discussed on the record by the magistrate judge and then by counsel for Panduit or oral argument.
You said page 101?
100 to 101 and then 133. And I think if you go and you look there, you'll see first the magistrate's description of the argument at 100 to 101 says that Panduit is trying to assert that Corning is engaged in measurement and selection, which dictate how future fibers will be manufactured.
Well, and then where on those two pages is that? I'm sorry, there are too many words.
I have the note written down on it, but I may just refer to the appendix.
I see in the middle of page 101, I think.
Yes, Your Honor. And then, if I may also refer, Your Honor, to Appendix 133, which is a direct statement by Panduit's counsel as to what they are talking about. He made this argument, this is line 5 of Appendix 133, it's iterative, it's a looping process, we look at how good it is, he's describing what they allege that Corning does. Then we look at how good it is and how we might improve that, then we take information from the manufactured fiber and we feed it back into the manufacturing process. So that's what they claim they can prove. You're going to use the fiber anyway, but you're going to use the information to improve your future manufacturing. And that is what is outside the asserted patent. It is within other patents that were issued, but not asserted in this case. And we cite those in our brief. But that use of improving the process in the future is not within the claim because it does not involve choosing whether the measured fiber will be used. It does, and under the district court's construction, it doesn't involve determining whether the measured fiber will be used. The fiber, to use Your Honor's analogy, all winds up in House Gryffindor regardless. And maybe the hat uses that information to decide whether future students, who Hogwarts will recruit in the future. Analogies are dangerous, but that's the distinction that I think is at work here. So the way that I would frame the distinction that the district court drew, and this is why the word determining is helpful, like sorting fibers by DMD shift, if you're not determining whether to use the fibers, is not choosing them for use. And
you keep on talking about the claim covering when you don't choose something for use. I think all this claim covers is that, at least one time the method has to choose for use something that satisfies its criteria. Why am I wrong? It doesn't have something about not choosing something.
I think what's necessary, Your Honor, is that the claim has to be choosing those fibers in which choosing for use those fibers in which the result is negative. And I would read that to mean that you are choosing the fibers for use if the result is negative, because not only because I think that's the best reading of the language, but also because I think it is the way to get the benefit of the asserted metric. And I'd like to make clear for the record that my client would ultimately disagree that this metric is of any use at all. I don't want to be heard as conceding that, but for purposes of this appeal, we assume the metric is useful. We assume that Panduit has this discovery that DMD shift, negative DMD shifted fibers actually perform better. And they are teaching a person of skill how to select fibers. They're saying select the fibers in which the DMD shift is negative. The implication, Your Honor, I think, is don't select the fibers in which the DMD shift is positive. Otherwise, if you're choosing fibers of both kinds indiscriminately...
But the claim doesn't say that, and it's a comprising claim, right? I just want to make sure that's clear. I that's just not normally how you would read a claim. It's just talking about there has to be choosing for use these particular fibers, but it doesn't say not choosing other fibers. That's not expressly in the claim.
I will say it's an implication from the structure and purpose, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I will concede that it does not have the phrase choosing whether to use. It does not have the phrase choosing those, not choosing fibers in which result is negative. But I do think that when you read the patent as a whole, in light of the language in the preamble, which talks about selecting, and which is contrasted in specification to sorting and verifying, and you use that as context.
I understand what you're saying, but in the context of how patent law usually operates, this method could be incorporated into a method that has a lot of other criteria that's being considered for whether to choose an optical fiber. And it could be that it's more elaborative than just these three steps. And this is a comprising claim. So I don't know, I'm not really comfortable with the way you're interpreting the claim in this respect. But I think the issue before us today is simply what does choosing for use in a communications network mean? And whether that would encompass more than selecting and would encompass things like sorting and verifying, right?
And I agree, but I think that if the result is irrelevant to whether it is chosen, you are not choosing those fibers for use in which the result is negative. I think that the phrase in which the result is negative, it implies that the metric plays a role in the choice. And if Your Honor disagrees with me on that, I would fall back, I guess, on the preamble, the use of the word selection, which is, I think, not really disputed that selection in this context means purposeful selection. And that is what was certainly alleged in the complaint, as we pointed out in our brief, that they went to a great deal of trouble in their complaint to show that Corning had to be purposefully selecting these fibers or the results that they claimed to have obtained couldn't have happened. And then they found out that Corning was not purposefully selecting those fibers, or at any rate, they can see that they can't prove it at this present stage of discovery, to be precise about that. And so now we are talking about a reading of the method that has nothing to do with purposeful selection, but could be satisfied by a happy accident or a guess or a hope or a prayer, as the district court put it. I don't think that's consistent with the best reading of this patent, applying the ordinary principles of claim construction, which do include looking at the preamble, do include looking at the specification, and I think do include looking at the purpose in the context of a method claim. And I would point to this court's recent opinion in Eli Lilly that talks about how the preamble often does, we don't really think the preamble here is limiting, but if you wanted to look at it that way, you could certainly also say, this is a preamble that tells you what the method does. This is a method for selecting. And in that context, it would, you have to be using the metric for that purpose of selection. I'd also like to touch...
Well, the difficulty is, and we've got cases that generally say, forget whether this is an embodiment or not an embodiment, but cases that say, when in the context of discussing and describing the present invention or the abstract, we take that language more seriously because they're really talking about this invention. And this invention in the abstract and under the title present invention, I think, does include the other terms of verifying and sorting. So why isn't that impactful in terms of construing the claim language itself?
So for several reasons, Your Honor. First, I would point out that this is clearly not a patent in which the description in the specification covers, in which the claimed method covers all descriptions of the use of the DFD shift metric in the specification. Because we know that manufacturing and designing, which are in the specification and I believe in the abstract,
Just as an aside, do you agree with your friend that as a test algorithm describes what's going on in this claim?
I mean, it's kind of a vague phrase, Your Honor. I'm not sure that the phrase test algorithm, which isn't in the claim, if you say test in the sense of testing whether you're going to use the fiber or not, then I would agree. Yes, you're testing whether this fiber passes the criterion that you're going to use to decide whether you're going to put it in a network or not. But if you're saying a test algorithm in the broader sense that I believe he wants to use it of, we're going to test and then we're going to take the results of that test and maybe we'll tweak our manufacturing process down the line. That would be covered by the unasserted patents, which cover manufacturing and design. It is something that's possibly contemplated by the specification, but it's not within the plain language of this claim. And also I want to point out that in the district court, Panduit had previously advanced a construction that included using for purposes of design, and specifically dropped that in their claim construction briefing, abandoned the idea that use for design was within the language of this patent.
What is the status of the unasserted patents, which I guess Panduit tried to add to this case and was rebuffed?
Yes, those patents are out of the case, Your Honor, because there was a motion to amend.
In some case somewhere?
I am not aware of any litigation that's been brought involving those patents. But they're out of this case because there was a motion to amend to add them, and that was denied, and that has not been appealed. So I think that the role that they do play in this case is showing that Panduit could very easily have included manufacturing design, or indeed sorting and verifying claims. It could have written those if it wanted to write them. But what it actually patented is in this patent, these patents that are asserted, are methods for selecting with trivial variations between the two. And that's what it chose to assert in this claim. And so that, I think, is ultimately what it's got to prove, the kind of choosing that is consistent with selecting.
So why, I mean, in general principles of construction, when we're construing statutes and so forth, if you use different words, there's an assumption, a presumption, that you mean different things. Otherwise, you would have used the same word. So are we not to give any credence to the fact that they used selecting and then choosing, that the two words mean different things?
So I have two answers to that, Your Honor. The first is that I don't think that presumption applies to a non-limiting preamble, because non-limiting preambles are often duplicative. So if you think they're right, the preamble isn't limiting. You shouldn't draw any inference from the use of the different language. But, okay, suppose the preamble is limiting. Then the result is that they have to prove both the purpose of selection and whatever choosing means. And we still win. Because if the two words do have different meanings and the preamble is limiting, then you would affirm on the basis that they have to show selection. And selection, I don't think it's really disputed, would definitely involve determining whether to use. If the court has further questions, I'm prepared to address them, but otherwise we would respectfully request that the judgment be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Your Honors, I just have a few things to address from my opposing counsel.
Mr. Melinda, I do have one question for you.
Absolutely.
And maybe you're already going to address this.
Are you okay? We moving
on? Oh, my apologies.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you better.
Back and forth.
Which is that the preamble argument. I'm not sure I've really heard you address that. I don't know that I think that the preamble has to be limiting or not limiting, and I'm not sure that matters. But here, you've got a preamble that says a method for selecting, which does suggest that that last step where it says choosing should be something like selecting. And you've got a specification that uses those three words, selecting, sorting, and verifying, suggesting they're different things. So I just want to make sure you address the preamble, because lots of times your preamble, you know, there is a decent argument there. I think it's the strongest argument against you, is that choosing is more like selecting and doesn't include verifying and sorting because it's because of the preamble language.
So I guess there are a couple problems. First, the court equated selecting with choosing, limiting choosing very narrowly. Selecting is subsumed within choosing. It's one of several options that we have in the specification, that magic part of the specification, column 2, lines 59 through 61. The court equated the two rather than putting selecting under choosing, and as a consequence, read out sorting and verifying. They basically took away two of those uses or embodiments that are in that language, and that's just not the way people with skill in the art do it. So not only did they disregard what the spec does, but disregarded what people actually do in the field, which is they select, they sort, and they verify. But here's the funny irony of all of this. The court equated selecting and choosing, but then used determining, did not actually use selecting. So even if you were to agree with this argument, at the end of the day, the court didn't even go with what it had limited. So, and this is what's more even more puzzling, is the fact that the court actually said selecting and sorting are synonymous with choosing. So really, two of the three things that we're advocating for, the district court already said, yes, that's true, but nonetheless excluded both of those from its construction and went with determining. So like I said, the only real issue is verifying, which is, of course, what one of skill in the art does, to say, yes, there was a negative DMD shift, and therefore we verified. I would like to go back to the question you'd asked earlier, Judge Stoll, about the fact that this is limiting and the fact that, you know, we're using comprising language, so this is a claim that's broader and can account for more things, which is certainly true. The problem here is that in the case of a process, for example, what you would do is you would test the fibers that you're getting out of the process, and you're going through this and analyzing them. You're doing the measuring, you're doing the subtracting, and then you choose. If they have a negative DMD shift, then you're going to choose those. If they're positive, that doesn't mean it necessarily has to be all over. Then you could go back and optimize your process, go through this again, and determine if you've now obtained a negative DMD shift. But that's really what they want to read out.
And that what you just described as going back and optimizing your process, is that tinkering with the very same fiber you have tested, or if you throw that glass away or put it back in the melting pot and produce new ones with a tweak to the process?
That's really up to the person of skill in the art doing the process. So if they can try to optimize that, let's just say, for example, they get a positive result, which is a bad thing. They can go back and try to optimize their process and get a negative result and then choose those fibers. Or they can say, look, we're just going to start over. We can't really adjust this process the way we want to, and they'll start over. I believe we addressed the...
So it's possible when you have a fully created fiber to go back with that fiber and tweak that fiber?
You may adjust your process to optimize that fiber. That's my understanding, Your Honor.
That very piece of glass.
Well, at a minimum, what I can represent is that you're going to optimize your process to create fibers that have that negative DMD shift. Whether you actually optimize that particular fiber that you have seen, I'll defer to the experts on that.
Anything further?
I just want to go back to a more general point that I don't want to lose sight of in all the hyper-technical arguments, is that DMD shift metric is an important invention, and it enabled engineers to evaluate performance of optical fibers in a way they had never done before. And it would be fundamentally unfair for Panduit to be penalized by the district court's overly narrow reading of the patent claims, both here and with respect to the step order, and a reading that violates basic claim construction principles.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.